You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Let's take our Bibles tonight. The book of Proverbs, please. Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter number 27. Thank you for singing that, Alyssa. Great song there. Proverbs chapter 27. I was told this morning from Mrs. Mercado that today they were celebrating their 34th year in our church. They came 34 years ago on Easter Sunday, and they were celebrating that this morning, and I want to make mention of that. I just wanted to say thank you so much to all of you. It was a great, great day today, and thank you so much to all of you who came out this week and worked hard and cleaned up this the building. It wasn't too bad as it was, but there was just some things that needed to be done. And we had just a lot of people say, hey, Pastor, you know, what can I do? In fact, at the end of the week, I was saying, I don't even think we have anything more I could have you do. And if you could recarpet my office, that'd be great, but that's about it. But thank you so much for coming out and putting in the sweat and all of that and the time and elbow grease for that. I think that just kind of added up to things. And then we had two incredible Saturdays of Super Saturday Soul Winning or All Church Soul Winning. And just the lobby for the past two Saturdays was full and was packed. And I think we can see fruit of that by what was happening today in church. And so thank you. Of course, you know we have soul winning every Saturday at 10 a.m., just a reminder to you. And we'd like to see that keep going. And then in the service today, boy, I tell you, the spirit of the service today was so amazing. It started off with, of course, it was a packed house here today. That always helps. But the choir, man, you were on point. That song was just incredible. I was sitting up here, and it was so loud, and I was loving it. I was like, man, I hope out there they can hear it as loud as I was hearing it up here. And I was reading in Psalms recently, and it said to praise the Lord with a loud noise, with a loud instrument. And I was thinking, hey, it's good to be loud in church. It's all right. And I loved that. That was wonderful. And then I tell you, throughout the whole service, sometimes in big days, my wife was reminding me of this today, sometimes we have big days, whether it be Friend Day and Easter. Those are kind of our big days of the year. In the past, there's been almost a quietness in our auditorium. There's almost like people are tense. We have visitors, we have friends, and we're all tense. And sometimes it can be quiet as a mouse in here on big days. And I understand that because I'm feeling tense too on big days. But today, there were amens flying around. There were people, you know, just shouting and having a great spirit. And that added so much. And so thank you for just being a part of the service and lending your voice to that. And that's always a good thing to do. It always helps the service. And so that was wonderful. And this, just every part of it, the special this morning, I was thinking about all the people that set up for the food and the coffee, which I did not partake in the food or the coffee. I was running around doing stuff. But, you know, I don't miss the coffee, but I miss some of those donuts and things out there. But I think we're going to have them out tonight, too, when we leave, if you want some. And we let the rats eat some of them this afternoon in the kitchen, but you can have what's left over. But, of course, I'm kidding. And upstairs, and I got to take the young lady, Emily, that got baptized today. I visited her and her cousin who got baptized, too. I visited them yesterday. And it was a kind of a crazy atmosphere at the house there. But she said, I want to get baptized too. And so I was going to visit the son that got baptized. And I said, oh, that's wonderful, Emily. I said, that's great. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And she said, no, but I want to. And it was just such a crowded moment that I felt like now is, I never ever put it off. I never do that. If someone wants to get saved, like right then. And I said, okay, well, it's crazy right here, right now. Too much noise, too many people. I said, but as soon as you get to church tomorrow. So I found Miss Chico KK. And I said, Chica, okay, this is just lofting one over the plate for you right here, sister. All you got to do is take the Bible. And she took the Bible and led Emily to Christ right after, I think during Sunday school. And Emily was like, okay, now I'm ready to get baptized. And so that added, and just a sweet spirit there. And Emily's dad was here today, and he is not a believer. He is very much a denier of God, but he was here, and he heard the gospel. And so we're praying that, and his son and daughter are really into church. They are really, the son's name is Eli, and it's easy for me to remember. And then Emily, and they want to go to, they live out in Menifee, but they're saying, Dad, take us to church. So that's a good thing. And God can use that. That's what happened in my home growing up. And then just so Emily got saved. And then just during the message, and for me, honestly, like how I feel about it is I'm more concerned that people get saved than I am with a number that we put on a form somewhere. And so I'm happy just whoever that trusted Christ as Savior. But I think I can safely say that 12 hands were raised in church this morning saying they accepted Christ as Savior. And so that's a wonderful thing. Amen. I'm glad. Praise the Lord for that. So we're thankful. I think that's a good thing. We ought to rejoice over that. And I was thinking about some of them, and I didn't get to see everybody, but Brother Dickinson had invited his neighbor. And he was sitting over here, had a big yellow shirt on, and his name was Lavoie, and his hand went right up during the invitation saying, I prayed and trusted Christ, saved. Brother Dickinson's been working on him for years. And so that's the good stuff. That's awesome. And man, I just loved everything about this service. Let's dismiss in prayer and just pretend like we had preaching, okay? I'm tired, all right? But I want to just give you a thought today from the book of Proverbs. And I always laugh because I mentioned it on Wednesday. We have our biggest crowd on Sunday morning. And Sunday night's usually ghost town. We've got a decent crowd for Sunday night, for Easter Sunday night here. So thank you for being here. You probably did it just to encourage my heart. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 27. I want to preach to you a message. We're going to be looking at the word diligence tonight. And I'll preach a message entitled, The Benefits of Diligence. The benefits of diligence. Now, you may notice that picture on the screen. You may see some family members on there. Diligence. And really, look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23, and you'll see here, be thou diligent. Now, that sounds like a command. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. We're going to go through a couple passages here in Proverbs and look at what are the benefits of being diligent. Before I do that, let's pray, and then I want to tell you what diligence means and explain it biblically and then go through it here. Father, I pray now for the next few moments as we look at the Word of God that you would just help us this evening and speak to us. Give us a shot in the arm for just being hardworking and for getting the job done. And thank you for all the hard work that went into this Sunday. And I know that what I believe firmly, that's why you blessed, was because the people of God were willing to do the work. And I know that it's not just for the pastoral staff and the deacons to do the work. We all have to do the work. And so thank you for a church that labored today. Bless our church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. What's it mean to be diligent? If I were to ask you, write it down on a piece of paper, pop quiz, what's diligent? Probably you'd have a good idea. You'd be able to say, you've heard the word diligence before. But the word here in the Bible means a person characterized by care and perseverance in carrying out tasks. Someone who's characterized by care and perseverance in carrying out tasks. It means persistently industrious. There's one word in the book of Proverbs here, diligence found in Proverbs 22:29 refers to being skilled or well-versed or being experienced. So we're talking about here somebody who's characterized by care and perseverance to carry out the tasks that are given to them. Now we would say that being hardworking, finishing. And the Bible has a lot to say about being hardworking. Hardworking, it's important. Jesus said, well, in the Bible, of course, we know God wrote it there, but in Proverbs chapter 6, we see, hey, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and learn her ways. Consider ways to be wise. What is it saying? It says they're working hard. They don't have a guide or an overseer over them. They're just diligent. They're just getting the job done that needs to get done. So we're told that. We're told over and over again in the book of Proverbs not to be slothful. As the slothful man turneth upon his bed like a door on its hinges. He said, don't do that. The slothful man is saying, there's a lion in the street and I cannot go out. You know, making excuses. And all of that is just mentioned. Do not be slothful. Don't be slothful. Hard work. There are benefits to hard work. There are benefits to hard work. If you think about it, God created us to work. It says in the Bible that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So unto good works. That's what God created us to do. Think about this. In the perfect environment, a perfect environment, you would think in a perfect environment there'd be no work. If I said, what is your perfect environment? What is heaven on earth to you? You'd say, man, Bora Bora. I want to go down there. I want to live in one of those huts right on the ocean. Or maybe for you, it's I want to go to the mountains. Send me up to, you know, like Montana somewhere where there's nobody around. Or I don't know, if you'd say downtown LA, there's something wrong with you. But if you said, hey, heaven on earth to me, probably none of that would be you saying, and here's the job I would do 9 to 5. No, we wouldn't think that way. But in the perfect environment of the Garden of Eden, you know what God gave Adam? A job. He said, work, till this ground. And so even in heaven, there will be work. I hate to break the news to you. But the thing about that is there will be no toil and no sweat and all of that kind of stuff. But God created us to work. Now look, we treat work like it's a dirty four-letter word. It's a four-letter word, but it's not bad. It's not a bad word, right? It's a good word. And it's essential in God's economy. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while his day. The night cometh when no man can work. In Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. When you get done with your time on earth, you can't work for Christ anymore. So while you're here, you better give it all you got. You better be hard working. I think about Noah, who spent 120 years building the ark. I think about Jesus, who was a carpenter. You think he was slacked off? You think he was like, you know, halfway doing the job? I wonder what kind of stuff Jesus made. I'd love to see. I'm sure it was perfect. I'm sure the plumb line was perfect, how he lined things up. He was a hard worker. Edward Gibbon. It's probably not a household name to many people, but Edward Gibbon wrote one of the most famous books in English literature, The History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. He spent 26 years writing the 6 volumes of that book. Noah Webster, of course, if you ever have a Webster's Dictionary, and there's the 1808 Webster's, and then there's the Merriam-Webster's and all that. Noah Webster spent 36 years of diligent work just coming up with the first edition of his dictionary. 36 years. The Roman orator Cicero is known for his public speaking. It is said that he practiced in front of his friends every day for 30 years. Every day for 30 years he practiced public speaking so that he could perfect it. And so what I'm thinking here is that, you know, let's think about how much energy, though, we put into God's work. Now, I think this past week or two, we've put a lot of energy in, and we're seeing results. But oftentimes, if we're not putting the energy in, that's the result that we're going to see, too. And we should never, ever allow unsaved people with earthly goals to outwork us. Never, never should allow that. Unsaved people with earthly goals should never outwork us. And that's just the truth of the matter. So tonight, I want to just give you a couple benefits here of being a diligent, hardworking person. Go in your Bibles to Proverbs 10. Let's go back there, and I'll try to go through these briefly tonight. Proverbs chapter 10. I want you to see the first benefit of diligence is riches. Riches. And maybe a better word would have been richness. I don't know. But riches. And so let me be careful that I'm not telling you today nothing about the prosperity gospel. You serve God, you're going to be a millionaire. No, I'm not saying that. There are different types of riches. But look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Someone who's just not caring about his business. And you know, if you're not diligent, you're going to wind up poor. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. The hand of the diligent maketh rich. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, the Bible says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. We're talking about there being full, being filled, and having some riches there. Look, it's not difficult to stand out in our world when it comes to work ethic. Why? Because so many people are lazy. So many people will give you 4 hours for 8 hours of pay. They'll work for 4 hours for their 8 hours of pay. And you can see it when you go to the stores. You can see it when you go to fast food. You can see it in a lot of places where people are more busy on their cell phones or more busy talking to somebody or just sitting in the back on something doing nothing instead of working. Now, I think that should never, ever, ever be a Christian because that's a terrible testimony. And we're not to sink to that. We're supposed to rise to the standard that God has for us. And so many people do the bare minimum. Charles Schwab, of course, you know, the investor, what all that, he said, work hard. Hard work is the best investment a man can make. Hard work. I believe that if you know how to work hard, you will be blessed. I believe that. I believe if you work hard, you will be blessed because God wants us to work hard. I believe Christians will get promotions and see blessings that money, more blessings than just money for their hard work. Now, riches, I don't mean that you're going to be rich in the sense of you're going to have money all the time. I'm not saying you will always have, $1 million in the bank and all that. But I tell you what, hard work certainly will be better for you than being slack and slothful. Absolutely. Hard work pays off. When it comes to the Lord's work, though, the riches that I'm talking about, the blessings and benefits are multiplied when we work hard. The blessings and benefits are multiplied. So don't be guilty of working so much at your job to earn money that you neglect to work for God, which brings you true riches. See, when you die, you're going to leave all of that money behind. And the riches and the treasure that you stored up in heaven, that's going to be waiting for you. The deposits you made, the investments that you made for true riches, that's what you get by being diligent. By being diligent with what God has given you, by being responsible. And what I do for God brings more riches to me than anything else in this world. Today, preaching the gospel, I got to preach the gospel to people. That, to me, is the most rewarding thing in the world. I tell you, I love it. I love to preach the gospel. I don't think I'm good at it, but I love to preach the word of God. I love to preach the gospel. That, to me, today, was more rewarding than a trip to Cabo, which the deacons are going to send me on in a couple weeks. That was so much more, I'm joking. They're like, we're coming with you, Pastor. All right, but that was so rewarding to me. So rewarding. Riches. Secondly, doing your Bible, Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. God blesses when we are hardworking. He's going to take care of your needs and all of that, but he's going to do more than that. He's going to give you spiritual riches when you are serving faithfully and you're diligent with what he gave you to do. Proverbs chapter 12, the second word, what are the benefits of diligence? We see riches, but I want you to see ruling as well. Ruling. Proverbs 12, 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, shall be in that leadership type position, but the slothful shall be under tribute. There are a lot of people in leadership positions that should not be there. In our government, there are a lot of people in leadership positions that have no business being there. But you know, it's also true, a lot of pastors that probably have no business being in the leadership position they're in. There's a lot of people in churches, a lot of people in the workplace, people that are more interested in their pocketbook than in their flock, people with the serve me attitude, dictators, politicians, and et cetera. Look, the rule is this: you don't put people in leadership hoping that they become diligent. That's not how it works. You put those who are diligent in leadership positions. When it comes to church and people that are going to serve in church, I'm not going to put somebody in a position at church hoping that it makes them faithful. I'm going to find who are the faithful people and then put them into the leadership positions. Because when they're diligent to do what they're supposed to do, then they're eligible to rule. But it doesn't work the other way. No one's going to have you rule over something when you're not diligent to do it. That's setting yourself up for failure. Brother Wayne Shimish is our missionary to Thailand, and I love Brother Shimish. He's one of the pastors that I listen to frequently preach, and he's from Australia. He's got a thick Australian accent, but he's a missionary to Thailand, and anyway, he's an amazing preacher, always got great biblical thoughts, and he told a story about a friend of his when he was in Australia. A pastor friend of his was in his office, and Brother Shimish got a phone call from Lancaster, Brother Chapel's church, big church up there. You know, we use the discipleship curriculum in our church. And Brother Chapel called Brother Shimish and said, I want you to preach at our big leadership conference, our pastor's conference and all of that. And by the way, let me time out in the message here just real quick. This is Brother Jesse Everson right here. I'm embarrassing you, Brother Jesse. Brother Jesse, I haven't told you much about him. He just graduated from West Coast Baptist College. Just recently, right up the road here. In fact, we're going to go to his graduation next month. But he's out of my father-in-law's church in Napa. He's a great guy. So get to know him. Many of you already do know him, but he's awesome. So get to know Brother Jesse. He's on fire for the Lord. Anyway, I said something about West Coast, Brother Jesse, and it got me thinking about you, okay? All right, so back to what I said. So Brother Shimish got this phone call when another pastor was in his office in Australia, and he was invited to preach at this huge conference, thousands of people there. And he got off the phone, and he said, and the other pastor said, "Brother Shemesh, who was that?" He said, "Well, it was Brother Chapel." "Well, what was he asking?" "He's asking me to preach at his pastor's conference." And the other pastor, "Oh, I would give anything to be asked to preach there." And Brother Shemesh said, "And that's why you never will be." Just stabbed him right in the heart, you know? And what was he saying? He was saying, look, when you get to the point where all you're seeking is that, you're not going to get that. You know, you just be diligent, and you worry about doing what you're supposed to do, and promotion will find you. God will find you with the leadership role if you'll just be faithful to do what you're supposed to do. Be diligent. Number next here. So we see riches. We see ruling. Go to Proverbs. You're still in Proverbs 12. Look at verse 27. Verse 27, another verse about the diligent. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. So here's a guy, goes out to hunt, provide, and just lets what he just took, lets this food waste. Doesn't eat it right then. I'm too tired to cook it, and so it goes to ruin, and it's all wasted. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. It's valuable. So we see riches are a benefit of diligence, ruling, but also responsibility. Responsibility. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:9, he that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Wow. When God gives you something, he expects you to be responsible with it. God gave us 4 kids. He expects me to be responsible with it. God gave me a wife. He expects me to be responsible. God gave me a leadership position in the local church. God expects responsibility. And if God makes you responsible, if God makes you a steward, that's the word, then you know what it is required in stewards? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2 that moreover it is required in stewards, in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's what God wants. So if you are diligent with what God's given to you to do, and if God has given you responsibility and you're diligent to do it, guess what God's going to do? He's going to give you more responsibility. I was talking to the teenagers this morning. And you know, sometimes teenagers can get this idea, my parents never let me do anything. They won't give me a cell phone. They won't let me, you know, drive a car when I'm 16 by myself. They won't let me go out with friends. They won't let me do that and all that. And I'm thinking, you know, you aren't trustworthy. Did you guys remember this message from this morning? They're like, yes, Pastor. I didn't preach this. I was lying. No, I'm kidding. All right, I did. But I was telling them, look, you want to have more responsibility given to you? Then be responsible with what's been given to you. I want freedom. Freedom comes at a price. We know that from our country. Freedom comes at a cost. And what's the cost? The cost is that you have to be trustworthy. And so when you get a little bit of responsibility, you be trustworthy and diligent with it, and then guess what happens? More trust comes to you, and more responsibility comes to you. And then if you are trustworthy and you are responsible, then you get to be trusted a little bit more, and you get more responsibility. When I was 16 years old, I got my license the day I turned 16, and I had a job, 37 hours a week at a grocery store. I don't advise that. That probably wasn't a smart thing to do, but my parents let me I had a car. It cost $250, ladies and gentlemen. My car, so you can kind of guess what kind of car I was driving, right? But I think I was one of those Flintstone guys. I had my feet outside, you know, just kind of doing this. I would drive myself to work, and then I'd say, Mom and Dad, I'm going to go do this. They'd say, okay, be back by this time. I'd say, hey, I'm going to go to McDonald's with my friend or whatever. I'll be back at 10. I'll be back at 11, make it 10:30. Okay, and guess what time? I told the teens, guess what time I was back? 10:25. Because why? I was going to be responsible because I liked my freedom. I liked it. And because of that, you get more responsibility placed upon you when you do those things. So whatever you've been given to do, whether you think it's something little, maybe there's something in the church you're doing and you think it's a little thing. It's not a little thing. Be responsible. Jesus, when he was talking about the man with the 10 talents and the 5 talents and the 2, he took the man that had 10 and he gave him more. Why? Because he was responsible with those 10, and he added more to it. There was a family that came to our church many years ago, and I'm going on year number 6 here as pastor, and so in August I'll be on year number 6, and so this is several years ago. There was a family that was kind of coming. They were going to join our church, and you don't know who I'm talking about, so stop thinking about it. You're going through your phone right now. Who's he talking about? They came, and they said, yeah, Pastor, we're kind of looking around a bunch of different churches, and You know, we just want to see where we can be used the most. You know, we want to really just come and help out a church that needs it. So we're going to, and I'm sitting out in the lobby going, uh-oh, don't choose ours. I said, well, Pastor, why would you say that? Because of the Spirit. The Spirit was, we're going to come be your Savior. We're going to come step in and we're going to, you know what, we're going to help you out. And we're going to come in and do this and that, and where we can be of the most use, and where we can, and you know what? There was trouble after trouble after trouble. And when they left, I was like, good luck to you. God bless you. It was great. I love them. But I tell you what, that spirit is not the right spirit. No one in this room is the Savior of Gethsemane Baptist Church, including this guy. Okay, look, if I'm gone tomorrow, God takes me home, he'll put somebody better in next week. Now, don't kill me, but that would be true. Look, so what I'm saying is this. Do your job in a responsible way, and then God will add to you what you can handle and more responsibility. That's how it works. Number four, go to Proverbs 22. I only have two left. This one and the next one, Proverbs 22. I'm going to get you out early tonight. Proverbs 22, verse 29. Proverbs 22, 29. The Bible says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. And when we say mean, we think, man, that guy's mean, or that person mean, as in like not nice. The word mean here is actually an old word meaning obscure. Or it means unknown. It's pertaining to a person of a lower social status. So it's what it's saying there. Get it? It's saying, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before, the poverty, or not the poverty-stricken people. That doesn't always mean that someone's not working hard. But I don't know how to say it a nice way, the lower class of people. The lazy people, the slothful people, the drunkards, and things like that. He said, look, the diligent person's going to be where the king is. Think about Daniel. The Bible says that they found Daniel 10 times better than everybody else at his age. So what did they do with Daniel? They said, boop, you're going to be up here with the king. Joseph. Man, they found Joseph to be just such a great hard worker that God was blessing Potiphar's house and all that because of Joseph. Joseph gets put in leadership positions. Why? He was diligent. Diligence is what we're talking about here. I read a story about Winston Churchill, and I've heard the story before. It always makes me laugh. Winston Churchill, and the word number four I should tell you is respect. Respect. Respect is what you get when you are diligent. You know, you get to stand before the kings. You get to be respected. Winston Churchill was very well respected. His last year in office, he attended an official ceremony. Excuse me. And as he was sitting there, two rows behind him, there was a couple fellas who started to talk, and they said, hey, that's Winston Churchill up there. And they were talking back and forth, and one of them said, they say he's getting senile. You're talking back and forth. And they say he should step aside. Oh, they say he should leave the running of the nation to more dynamic and capable men. After the service, the ceremony was over, Churchill turned around to the men and said, gentlemen, they also say he's deaf. They say a lot of things, don't they? I want to just ask you, are you being diligent with what God has given you to do? When you are diligent, you earn respect. Respect is earned. And we know that, and we understand that. That is what we're talking about here, being stand before the kings, is there's a respect there. You're noticed. And I want to encourage you to be diligent. Lastly tonight, I want to just move to the next one. We're in the same verse here. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Standing before the king there, there's an allusion there to being able to be blessed along with all the things that come with standing with the king. And we've seen tonight, diligence brings riches. And a lot of those riches are more than just money. There's ruling. There's responsibility, there's respect, but lastly, I'd say what comes from diligence is rewards. Rewards. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. God is going to try our work one day. You'll stand before Jesus, And God will reveal every secret thing the Bible says. And what's that mean? Does that mean every sin you've ever done? No. He's paid for that. That's been dealt with on the cross. But he's going to bring up everything inside that no one else saw regarding your motives. Why you did what you did. And people, and as your works will pass before him, and he will be able to see the motive by what you did, and it will pass through the fire. And if our motives were not what they ought to be, it would be like wood, hay, and stubble. The fire will consume it. But if our motives are right, our works will pass through, and God will give us rewards for the labor and the work that we did for him. Now, I don't know if those specific rewards are the crowns that we wear. I don't know. But I do know that we will receive crowns based upon what we did for God, how we followed and were diligent and was responsible with what we were given, and we will be able to take those crowns and present them back to Jesus Christ based upon the work that we did. With that in mind, are we being diligent? As we go forward, are we going to be diligent? What job has God given you? Maybe God has given you the job of parent, of spouse, maybe the job of ministry leader, maybe the job of a worker in the ministry. You've been given a literal job. Maybe it's the job of soul winner, which we've all been given that job. Bible student, we've all been given that job. Prayer warrior, we've all been given that job. Church attender, we've all been given that job. Deacon, staff member, we've been given jobs to do. We've been given responsibility. And tonight, I just want to challenge you to be diligent, to work hard. Look, let's not be guilty of working so hard for Easter and then not putting in any more work until October's Friend Day. No, let's be diligent. Let's get back out this week and visit those who visited our class today. Let's get back out and those people that you invited, let's invite them again next week. Let's be diligent with what God has given us to do. Father, I thank you so much for today. It's been a great day in your house. It's been a wonderful day, Lord. There's been salvations that have taken place. Souls that were on their way to hell are now on their way to heaven. And God, I'm so thankful to be a part of that. I'm so thankful for the amazing Spirit. But Lord, I don't want to just work hard before Easter. God, I want to work hard, work even harder now to continue to bring a great Spirit with me to church, to be out there soul winning and witnessing and getting people back into church and compelling them, as the Bible says, to come back in and to continue to witness and continue to preach and continue to serve and continue to give and continue to be a husband and father. And Lord, I want to just keep working hard. And I pray that tonight there'd be a group of people who would just decide, I'm going to be diligent with what God's given me to do. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and I'm not going to have you come forward unless you want to. Of course, you obviously can, but we're just going to have an invitation right where you're at. And I just want you just to maybe talk to the Lord and say, God, help me.